Today we're going to continue our study that we've been doing on noteworthy verses in the Bible. In other words, verses that really stick out. I want us to begin today in the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 38. Exodus 12, verse 38 says, "And a mixed multitude went up also with them, in flocks and herds, and even very much cattle." And of course, here in Exodus, it's talking about when the Israelites came out of Egypt. Amen. They were not alone. There were other people other than the Israelites with them. And this multitude, a mixed multitude, probably contributed to the discontentment of Numbers 16:3 and Numbers 21:5. Let's look at those two references, Numbers 16:3 and Numbers 21:5. In Numbers 16, verse 3, we see it says here in the Word of God, "And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." So I believe probably that this mixed multitude that came out of Egypt with the Israelites was probably had something to do with this discontentment here in Numbers chapter 16, verse 3. I also want us to look at Numbers chapter 21 in verse number 5, Numbers 21:5, and it says here in the Word of God, "And the people spake against God, against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." But this mixed multitude was definitely a problem in Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9 in verses 1 and 2, the Word of God says this. Ezra 9, 1 and 2, "And now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abomination, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughter for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers have been chief in this trespass, amen. So we see this intermingling here in the book of Ezra caused problems, this mixed multitude, amen. Also, they caused a problem in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 10. Nehemiah chapter 10, and we want to look at verse number 28. Nehemiah 10:28, the Word of God says, "And the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, and all that they had separated themselves from the people of the land under the law of God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding." Amen. So it's also a problem in America today, the so-called melting pot of all nations, where Sodomites, Muslims, Jews, Christians, Catholics, Hispanics, Africans, Asians, and Europeans are all supposedly the same and worship the same God. And, of course, that's a big joke, is it not? Amen? Okay, let's turn now to Exodus chapter 12 in verse 46. Exodus 12, 46. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 46, the Word of God says this, "And in one house shall it be eaten, Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. And of course, this has to do in the context with the Passover lamb, amen, which pictures Jesus Christ, amen. So this is why Jesus had to be crucified by the Romans instead of being stoned by Jews. A stoning would have broken bones and violated scripture, amen. Look with me in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, in verse number 36. So we want to look at John 19, verse 36. The Word of God has this to say. For these things were done, that the Scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him, the him here referring to Jesus Christ, shall not be broken. And then let's look at a cross-reference in the book of Psalms. In the book of Psalms, Psalm number 30, Psalm 34 in verse number 20, the Word of God has this to say, he keepeth all his bones, and not one of them is broken. So just as we see as they were roasting the Passover lamb, the bone of the Passover lamb was not to be broken. It pictured or foreshadowed the Lord Jesus Christ in his crucifixion, where he, where none of his bones are broken, because we know to hasten the death of those who were crucified, they would break the legs so they couldn't push up to get a breath of air, amen. Now, let's look at Exodus chapter 13, verse 13. Now, look at what the Word of God has to say. It says, "In every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck, and all the firstborn of man among thy children shall thou redeem." So here we have is an ass, which is a picture of man, amen, an unsaved man. An ass had to be redeemed with a lamb, which pictures Jesus Christ. And all of this is interesting in light of what we read in Job chapter 11 and verse 12, and in John chapter 1 verse 29. So let's first turn to the book of Job with me. Job chapter 11, and when we get to Job 11, we want to look at verse number 12. Look at this. Hear what it says here. It says, "For vain man would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt." So here we have in the book of Job, referring to man as a wild ass's colt, okay? And then let's connect that up. So we have man is pictured as an ass, a wild ass's colt. Now look what's said in the book of John with me, chapter 1, amen, in verse 29, John 1:29, it says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So we see the Lamb as a picture or type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Exodus 15, in verses 1 through 18, we have this Song of Moses. In this whole passage, I want us to see, we won't read it, but this whole passage has a prophetic reference to the second coming of Christ and the establishment of his kingdom. The final verse, verse 18, sums up the whole thing. Verse 18, let's read that. "And the Lord shall reign forever and ever." Amen. Amen to that. Now let's look at Exodus chapter 15 and verse number 20. We read this. "And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. Now, what's interesting or why this verse is noteworthy is we see that dancing is not forbidden in the Bible, but is certainly regulated. Amen? Rather than dance in the immediate presence of grown men, like we see the carnal daughter of Herodias did in Mark chapter 6, verse 22. These ladies danced among themselves for the purpose of praising God after being led away by Miriam. And notice what it says in the book of Psalms 150, the last psalm, in verse number 4. It says, praise him with timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. So we see then dance is very is not forbidden in the Bible. It's very much regulated, and it's for the purpose of praising God. Now, notice, let's continue our study here, a lesson on noteworthy verses in the Bible, and I want us to turn to Exodus chapter 19 and verse number 11, and we read this in the Word of God. We read this, and be ready, it says, and be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Here we have, what's noteworthy about this verse is, the Lord coming down on the third day, amen, points to the second coming of Christ, according to the third millennial day after Calvary. Let's look at Hosea, the book of Hosea, to tie in with this. In Hosea chapter 5, Hosea 5, verse 15, we begin, it says, and I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early. Now let's go to Hosea chapter 6. It says in verse 1, we'll look at verse 1 and 2 of Hosea 6. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. Verse 2 of Hosea 6. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. And then notice what it says in 1 Peter with me. Or 2 Peter, rather. 2 Peter chapter 3. Beginning in verse number 8, we read this. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. See, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So we see that a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. Amen. So 3 days would be 3,000 years. All right, let's look at Exodus chapter 19, verse 18. And we see this. The Word of God says, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as a smoke of furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Well, what stands out about this verse is, this is where we get the expression, you've heard of it, holy smoke. Amen. Here in Exodus chapter 9, verse 18. And then in chapter Exodus 20, in verses 1 through 17, what's important or stands about this passage is a passage with which every believer should be very familiar with, and this is the Ten Commandments, amen? The Ten Commandments are found here in Exodus chapter 20, in verses 1 through 17. Now let's turn over to Exodus 21. Exodus 21, let's look at verses 22 and 23. Exodus 21, verses 22 and 23, the Word of God says, If a man strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. What stands out here, what's noteworthy about these two verses, it shows an unborn child here is treated as a human life, not merely a fetus or only a part of a woman's body. Amen. Looking in, let's turn to Exodus 22:2. Notice what the Word of God says here in Exodus 22:2. It says, if a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. And hence, this is where we get our expression, breaking in. Amen. The word breaking in is similar here to what we read here. Now, in Exodus chapter 25, Exodus chapter 25, in verses 10 and 11, let's read those first. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half, shall be the length thereof, and a cubit and a half the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold within and without, shalt thou overlay it, and shall make upon it a crown of gold around about. Now let's drop down to verses 23 and 24 of Exodus 25. Notice, it says, thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make thereunto a crown of gold around about. And then let's flip forward to chapter 30 of Exodus for a moment. Chapter 30, notice verses 1 to 3. And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon of shittim wood shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, a cubit the breadth thereof, 4 square shall it be, and 2 cubits shall be the height thereof. The horns thereof shall be of the same, and thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof and the sides thereof around about, and the horns thereof, and thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold around about. So what we have here, what it shows us here, what's noteworthy about the verses that we read, we see that there are 3 items in the tabernacle. We're crowned with gold, amen, picturing the Holy Trinity, amen. We saw, we see the ark, amen, that's the first item. And then we saw a table, amen, the table. And then finally in Exodus chapter 30, we see the altar, amen, the altar. So we see then these 3 items of the tabernacle were crowned with gold, picturing the Holy Trinity. Now let's move on to Exodus chapter 25 and verse 22. It says, "And there will I meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things, which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel." So, what's noteworthy about this verse is there was nothing visibly seen between the two cherubims. So the verse serves as a good cross-reference to John 4, verse 24, which is where we are told that God is a spirit. God is a spirit. So let's turn there to John chapter 4, verse 24. Amen. And of course, this is where Jesus is dealing with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. Here Jesus said, "And God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Now let's look at, as we continue our lesson on the noteworthy verses in the Bible, let's look at Exodus 32 in verses 17 and 18. Now notice what it says here. "And when Joshua heard the noise of the people, as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither it is the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear." So what we see here, what sticks out about here is here we see the music of the world sounds more like war than it does music, amen? Then we see in Exodus 32, in verse 19, it says, "And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount." So, to this day, we speak of breaking the law. This is where Moses, with the Ten Commandments, the law was written on the tables, a stone, and he broke them. This is where we get the expression, breaking the law. Now, let's look at Exodus 32, verse 32. Notice what the Word of God says here. We read, "Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." Now here we have is the first mention of what appears to be the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's also look at other places. First of all, in the book of Philippians with me, chapter number, Philippians 4, verse number 3, we read this in the Word of God, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." Amen. And then we travel to Revelation. The book of Revelation, first in Revelation, we'll look at chapter 3 and verse 5. We read this, "And he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." And then let's look in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, and notice verse 8 with me. The Word of God says this, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, Worship him here as the Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And then in Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 11, the Word of God has this to say, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now look in Exodus chapter 34. In verse number 7 we read this: "Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that they in that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation." Here we have what's noteworthy about this verse is the covenant people were forgiven on credit until Christ made the record clear at Calvary. Amen. Now let's turn to Exodus chapter 35. First we'll look at verse 5. The Word of God says, "Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass." Look at verse 21. "And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation for all his service and for the holy garments." Look at in verse 22 with me. "And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord." And then finally, verse 29, "The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses." So what we want to see here is, we saw in these verses that we just read, and what's noteworthy, what stands out, is the word willing or willing heart. And what this shows us is this: God forces no one into his will. So both salvation and service are conditioned upon a willing heart. You see, God gives each and every one of us free will. We're not robots. We choose either to obey him or disobey him. But the choice is ours. Amen. Well, we've just about run out of time here on the Pastor's Study, and I hope you'll join me next time as we continue our study on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible.